If you would hear with joy what the words of our Lord have to say to us today from the Gospel of Matthew, beginning with chapter 5. These are some of his words from the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of these least commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Our gospel reading this morning is both comforting and also a little challenging. And it launched me into a little research about salt this week, and also a little search of our pantry. You know, the most common salt that we all use, of course, is table salt. It usually comes in a box kind of like this. And we all know that salt enhances the flavor of food. And every Christmas Eve, our family makes a big pot of chili, and after church, we gather with other family members at our house, and we eat chili. And there's so many spices that go into the chili that we make. There's tons of chili powder and paprika, garlic, oregano. There is red pepper, black pepper, onions, tomato sauce, and salt. It's not a secret family recipe. It's Wick Fowler, if you really want to know. But this Christmas, I thought, you know, we just don't need all of that sodium in our diet anymore. So why don't we just skip the salt? I mean, who's going to notice when we have all of these other spices present? And so when the 10 of us sat down to eat, within about 30 seconds, it was obvious who would notice. Because 10 spoons dipped into their steaming hot bowls of chili. And almost in unison, 10 hands grabbed for the salt shaker. And people begin saying, "Would you please pass the salt? Pass the salt, please. I think I'll have some of that too." Salt not only brings out the flavor in our food, it also counteracts bitter flavors in food, which is why you should always salt your broccoli. Salt adds color and texture to our bread. And if you don't believe me, see what happens if you leave salt out of your biscuit or bread dough. You end up with hockey puck biscuits, and you end up with a loaf of bread without its lovely brown crust. No. Salt adds flavor and color and texture to food. And with its coarse texture, it's also an ideal scouring agent. Salt lowers the freezing point of water, which means that water won't freeze easily when it's applied to our wintry roads and driveways. And when rock salt is added to the ice around our ice cream maker, it aids in the freezing of our favorite dessert. So what does Jesus mean when he says, "You are the salt of the earth"? Well, prior to our scripture reading, before talking about salt, Jesus has just launched into his most famous sermon of all time. Matthew tells us that Jesus' fame has spread all around the region, and great crowds are following him. And so one day, Jesus leads the crowd up to the top of a mountain, and he sits down, which is the teaching posture of a rabbi, and others gather around him. And he begins teaching them. And the first words out of Jesus' mouth during this famous sermon is, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And then Jesus continues teaching that those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and those who are being persecuted for their righteousness are also blessed and joyful. These Beatitudes, according to theologian Thomas Long, act sort of like the preamble to the Constitution. You all learned the words. You probably memorized them in your civics class. "We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure the domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity." This statement defines the nation's vision of what it hopes we, our citizens, will embody. And in the same way, the Beatitudes proclaim what is true in light of the kingdom come in Jesus Christ, or the kingdom come near in Jesus. They describe the purpose of the law of Moses and the practices that this new community led by Jesus should embrace. Jesus' community is blessed and joyful now because it is a joyful people, and they are joyful not because of their easy lives, but because they trust in God's coming kingdom. They see what others do not. God is at work in the world in and through Jesus, and because Jesus is in them, God is in and work in the world in them as well. And God will bring all of creation eventually into justice and peace and joy. They are blessed because they are already experiencing the kingdom come near in Jesus, and they know it. The kingdom has become a present reality for them. So Jesus lays out this preamble of the Sermon on the Mount, and now he declares to all who are following, all of these crowds, "You are the salt of the earth, so don't lose your saltiness. And you are the light of the world. Don't hide the light that you are." In these words, Jesus' followers learn of their identity. They discover their identity. They discover Jesus' vision for them as a community, and they are given their marching orders. Matthew writes at a time when Rome has just destroyed Jerusalem and the temple, and the people are living in a land of darkness. Their lives are often bland and tasteless and often bitter at the hands of the Romans. And specifically, Matthew is writing to this community of Jews, Christian Jews, who are embroiled in a bitter dispute with other Jews, Jewish leadership. They are being challenged that their practices that they follow because of Jesus are breaking the laws and going against the prophets. Jesus broke the law, they say, when he goes against the prophets. And so feeling marginalized and persecuted, they wonder sometimes, as we do, who are we and what are we to do? To which Jesus answers, "You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. So be salt and be light." And so his followers, what he means by that is his followers' actions and words, the way in which they live out their lives, are to enhance the flavor and the color and the texture of all of those around them. They are to reflect the light of the kingdom come near in Jesus. They are to be the salt of kindness and compassion for the hungry, for those who mourn, for those who need mercy, for those in pain. The salt that they have to offer has the potential to melt the frozen hearts of those who misunderstand and persecute them and oppose them. The grit of their salt can provide them courage to seek the justice for others that Jesus would want and that Jesus demands. And when those around them experience the saltiness of this community's lives, wow. When they experience the saltiness, it's as if they've also had a lantern lifted up into the darkness of their lives. They can both taste and see the goodness of God's kingdom and give glory to God. So these followers' identity and their marching orders, of course, is ours as well. We too are to be salt and light in a world that's hungry for flavor and color and texture, and for the one that is sitting in darkness. To be salt and light to a divided community and to a divided world. And so Matthew's community is divided, of course, over Jesus' actions. The Pharisees have said, you know what, this man has broken the Sabbath laws when he heals people on the Sabbath. And he allows his disciples to break the Sabbath laws when they were hungry and they walked through fields and plucked grain and ate it. That was against the law. And Jesus' response to them later in this gospel is, and now, I haven't come to abolish the law. I have come to complete it, to bring it to its flavor, full, shining fulfillment. Jesus does in the Sermon on the Mount what rabbis have done for centuries. He provides his interpretation of the law. Rabbis have always argued over different parts of the law. So Jesus gives his interpretation, one that illuminates not the letter of the law, but the heart of the law. The Pharisees aren't wrong in wanting to keep the law of Moses, but they, according to Jesus, didn't need to just mind each word on the page. They needed to keep the intent of what the law was written for. And Jesus reminds them later, quoting the prophet Isaiah, "If you had known what this means, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless," meaning him and his disciples. It's very similar to Isaiah's words that Tim read this morning. "Is this not the fast I chose? And that I choose? Yes, you can fast to show your honor and your love for me, but I would prefer that you loose the bonds of injustice, let the oppressed go free, share your bread with the hungry, provide for the homeless, clothe the naked. Then you will be light, and then you will be salt." Jesus says a little later in Matthew's gospel, "The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." So it's on these two commandments that he says that all of the law and the prophets hang. Love of God and love of neighbor. Everything that Jesus says and does is weighed by these two laws. The Pharisees are righteous because they've kept all of the laws. And he says, "Unless your righteousness exceeds the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Now, that's a tall order. It kind of makes me scared sometimes to think about that. But to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees means not to just to follow all of the rules, but to follow the reason for the rules. To offer the salt of love and compassion and justice in the same measure as Jesus. And friends, that's an even taller order. It's great to follow the rules, but not at the expense of mercy and compassion, not at the expense of another person's worth or wholeness. I was reminded a couple of other things while I was digging through the pantry and thinking about salt this week. One is that, as we all know, it only takes a small amount of salt to make a big difference in the taste or to enhance the flavor of our food. I mean, it's really hard to imagine French fries or pretzels without salt, isn't it? Or even a bowl of chili at this point. Sometimes I think that we can be overwhelmed with the enormity of the bitterness and the darkness and the division that is around us in our world, in our community, and sadly sometimes in our church. And we may wonder, what difference can I possibly make? What good can we as this little community of believers make? But we need to remember that even a little salt. The salt of love and compassion and courage and justice can change the flavor and color and texture of our relationships and of the people around us. Little by little, it can also change the world. And of course, the same is true for light. We all know that one candle, we experience this on Christmas Eve, one candle raised into a dark room lights others' darkness. It can bring much needed light. Then the second thing I learned is that salt comes in a variety of sizes and colors. Did y'all know that salt had colors? Well, we know we have table salt, but we also have, you can find fine sea salt. I have no idea why I had this in the pantry, but I did. I'm sure it was called for in a recipe. And there is also coarse sea salt. It's chunkier. And there's rock salt, which I couldn't find because I haven't made ice cream in a while. Rock salt for making our ice cream and melting things. Did you know there's pink salt? I don't know why I have this either. Pink salt. There's also black salt and brown salt and yellow salt and smoky salt, some that comes from lava flows. Here's some salt that has a little bit of truffle in it. It's really good. Salt comes in this variety of sizes and colors. Each of you are salt with different qualities. Some of you are like coarse salt or rock salt that will help thaw and scour the injustices in the world. Some of you bring the tender quality of finely milled salt, a tenderness that will bring flavor into the lives of those who need tenderness. Your gifts for bringing love and compassion and justice to those around you, all of you, are as varied as there are kinds and colors of salt. But you all, with your many gifts, the gifts that I see you offer day in and day out, have the capacity to continue to bring flavor into the lives of others, into the lives of the church. In the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, I know you all know the movie, the lead character, George Bailey, and his wife, Mary, they run this little savings and loan. They provide loans for people who are trying to get out of their shanties and have owned their own homes. And each time a family moves out of a squatter's home and into their own home, Mary comes with this basket of gifts and offers them a blessing as she extends each gift to them. She'll hold up a loaf of bread and say, "Bread, that this house may never know hunger. Salt, that it may always have flavor. And wine, that joy and prosperity may reign forever." George and Mary were salt and light to the people around them and in their community. And so as we encounter our neighbors in need and those who feel marginalized, my prayer is that we as a community of Christ followers be what God has created us to be, salt and light. And may others through you both taste and see that the Lord is good. May they experience the kingdom and be blessed by you and give glory to their Father in heaven. And when we see others for whom life is bitter and bland, without flavor or color or texture, may we all reach out our hands together and pass the salt. Amen.